A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hey, Herman and Corin. I'd love to chat today about media handling in Astro, one of the very popular front-end frameworks that was acquired by Cloudflare. And this is an area where I think a lot of people, the differential is changing between what might previously these frameworks, these static site deployment frameworks that are static. They have a lot to endear themselves to, but they've often, I think, justifiably been sort of disliked by a lot of developers because the benefit just isn't really there in terms of how much work it's going to take to create what you're trying to create in terms of front-end design using a code-defined framework like Astro as opposed to using WordPress. But that paradigm has really changed with agentic AI. Because it's now much more easy and time efficient. And I think that's actually the latter of those is the bigger win. If you might create the perfect site for your business once, but if you know it's going to take you another month to hire a development team to change the look, that's a big reason against using one of these frameworks when you can edit the look of your site much more easily and quickly using WordPress. But with tools like Claude Code, it's become a lot easier. And therefore, I think a lot of people who are producing content-driven websites are discovering the serverless world for the first time. And backend as a separate data lake, that concept of headless CMS is, I think, going to get a big second wind due to these developments. I'd like to cover today the media aspects involved here because these are kind of these potential pitfalls that when you come from something like WordPress, where if you upload an image to your blog post, there's a lot more happening behind the scenes than just the image being saved into a database record being created and it being uploaded to your storage center. If you don't have thumbnail generation, which WordPress handles under the hood, and you begin creating an index page for your blog post, the first pitfall you're going to run into is that the blog index page, you'll hear about static sites being super fast, and you'll say, well, why on earth did it take 20 seconds to load up an index page with 5 blog post thumbnails? And the answer might be that you're doing no thumbnail creation, you're doing no creation of downsized versions of those images, and therefore you're loading the full size when all you need is a little thumbnail view. One technology I'd like to mention in this stack is Sharp, which is really powerful. And the modularity of these platforms is the advantage that if you can get over the complexity handle, is very useful. To give an example for my inventory website, which is a fork of Homebox, I realized that with Sharp, I was even able to create a timestamped version of, I can just, in the upload processor, I can create a small version for the catalog view where you want to see a lot of items just with a thumbnail. I can keep the original and I can also create one that has a baked in overlay with like the time and maybe even the asset ID. So these are the things that with WordPress would be super hard to do. You'd be stringing plugins after plugins together and you can do it with Astro, but you need to sort of think about these things in advance. The second thing I'd like to ask in this regard is just regarding the actual processing the image formats that one wants to use. And for videos, if you're integrating video into your project, I've always thought that WebP is the most space efficient format. And the only hesitation that I have, or why I tend to revert to PNG sometimes, is the feeling that it's just much more space efficient, or to get that true alpha background layer. But is that the case? Is WebP a good thing to standardize on? Because it gives you certain advantage if you can start on the best image format for your site. And then when we talk about video delivery and you know, this whole world of headless CMS, there's so many things that we can do with it. But one of the common reasons people like it is that you can separate even the front end. You can have your front end served from, you know, deployed through Vercel, but the images and videos are going, when you upload them, they're actually routing into a CDN bucket. Now, this is one of those things that's quite easy to set up, but I feel like is involving too much complication for most people. But I'm just going to put it out there as something that people also might want to consider doing. The final thing to round out this kind of laundry list, but there are a lot of these little visual things that you, if you're developing a site like this, you might wonder, how do you do these things on Astro? Icons, those are a big thing. If you're designing a site with social icons for Facebook, GitHub, those kind of things, unless you're doing something really bespoke, I tend to look for those icon libraries you can install with NPM. Let's talk about what the major ones there are. And if you go down the route of creating your own SVG graphics, this is one of those things that makes me kind of, when I see it, an AI agent doing it, makes me say that does not feel like the right way to do it. I'm talking about inlining the SVG in your file. It's very pure in the sense that there's literally no external SVG, but it doesn't feel like the right way to do it. WordPress, if I can recall the last time I checked, had kind of a grievance against SVG. So it's another tick for the static fans that they allow you to do it if you want to. No plugins required, but might be useful understanding what those potential security concerns are. That's led the WordPress world to be a bit more cautious. But more pragmatically, if you're doing all of these things or adding little nice touches like animations, what would you recommend in terms of the best way to host those resources for the best performance, and of course keeping the security as good as it can be? Over to you two.
Daniel sent us this one, and it's a proper deep dive into the media handling side of Astro, which is the framework Cloudflare acquired. He's coming at it from the angle of someone who's seen the shift from WordPress to static and serverless frameworks, and he's got questions about the practical realities. Thumbnail generation, image formats, video delivery, icons, SVG security. Basically, all the things that WordPress handled under the hood that you now have to think about deliberately.
This is exactly the conversation that's worth having right now, because the agentic AI tooling has genuinely changed the equation. The old knock against frameworks like Astro was that you'd spend 3 days configuring image pipelines just to replicate what WordPress gives you out of the box. Now you describe what you want, the agent wires up Sharp and the asset pipeline, and you're done in minutes. The barrier isn't just lower, it's a different category of problem.
The prompt mentions that the time efficiency is the bigger win, and I think that's right. You might build the perfect site once, but the real friction was always iteration. Hiring a dev team every time you want to change the look of your blog index, that was the silent killer.
That's where the headless CMS concept gets its second wind. You separate the content layer from the presentation layer, and suddenly you can iterate on the front end without touching the content, or vice versa. The data lake sits there, the front end pulls from it, and the media pipeline sits in between doing its job. It's the modularity that makes it powerful.
Let's start with the thumbnail problem, because that's the one that bites people first. You build a blog index, you drop in 5 post thumbnails, the page takes 20 seconds to load, and you're staring at the screen wondering where the famous static site speed went.
The answer is almost always that you're serving the full resolution image when all you need is a tiny thumbnail. WordPress handles this silently. When you upload an image, it generates multiple sizes automatically. Thumbnail, medium, large, sometimes custom sizes defined by your theme. The database records all of them, and when your theme calls for a thumbnail, it gets a thumbnail. Astro doesn't do any of that unless you tell it to.
The framework gives you the rope, and the first thing you do is hang your page load times with it.
And the fix is Sharp. Sharp is a Node.js image processing library that's become the standard for this kind of work in the JavaScript ecosystem. It's fast. It's built on libivips, which is a C library that processes images in streaming fashion rather than loading the entire image into memory. The performance difference compared to something like ImageMagick or even the Canvas IPI is dramatic.
How dramatic are we talking?
Sharp's own benchmarks show it can be 4 to 5 times faster than ImageMagick for resizing operations, and the memory usage is a fraction. For a typical blog thumbnail workflow, taking a 12-megapixel image and producing a 400-pixel-wide thumbnail, Sharp might do it in under 10 milliseconds. ImageMagick could take 40 or 50.
We're talking about the difference between a page that loads in 200 milliseconds and one that loads in a second just from image processing overhead.
Right, and that's before we even get to the network transfer. The other piece is that Sharp integrates beautifully with Astro's build pipeline. You can set it up so that at build time, Astro processes all your images through Sharp, generates the thumbnails and responsive sizes, and outputs them as static assets. Or you can do it at request time if you're using Astro's server-side rendering mode. The prompt mentioned creating time-stamped versions with overlays. That's exactly the kind of thing Sharp handles natively.
The prompt gave a specific example from an inventory site, a fork of Homebox, where the upload processor creates a small version for catalog view, keeps the original, and also generates one with a baked-in overlay showing the timestamp and asset ID. That's 3 versions from 1 upload, all automated.
That's the kind of thing that in WordPress would be a nightmare of plugin dependencies. You'd need 1 plugin for custom image sizes, another for watermarking or overlays, maybe a third to handle the metadata. And they'd all need to play nicely together, and one of them would inevitably break on the next WordPress update. With Sharp and Astro, it's a single processing function. You define the pipeline once, and it runs deterministically every time.
The trade-off, of course, is that you have to define it. WordPress gives you sensible defaults. Astro gives you a blank canvas and a very sharp knife.
That's where the AI tooling really changes things. The prompt mentions cloud code. You describe what you want, and it writes the Sharp pipeline for you. It knows the API, it knows the best practices, it knows to generate WebP versions alongside the originals, it knows to set reasonable quality settings. You don't need to read the Sharp docs to get a working pipeline. You might need to read them to optimize it later, but the initial setup cost has collapsed.
Let's talk about WebP, because the prompt raises a specific question here. Is WebP the right format to standardize on, or is there still a case for PNG? The hesitation mentioned is about alpha transparency, and the feeling that PNG might be more space efficient in some cases.
This is a question where the answer has shifted over the last few years. Let me break it down. WebP supports both lossy and lossless compression, and it supports alpha transparency in both modes. So, the transparency concern is largely outdated. WebP handles alpha channels just fine, and all modern browsers support it. The space efficiency question is more nuanced.
Give me numbers.
For photographic images with lossy compression, WebP typically produces files that are 25 to 35% smaller than equivalent quality JPEGs. For images that need lossless compression, things like screenshots, diagrams, logos with sharp edges, WebP lossless is generally 20 to 30% smaller than PNG. So in almost every category, WebP wins on file size.
Almost every category.
There are edge cases. Very small images with limited color palettes. Think a 16 by 16 pixel icon with 4 colors. PNG can sometimes be smaller because its overhead is lower. And for images where you need the absolute highest fidelity with no compression artifacts whatsoever, some people still prefer PNG as an archival format. But for web delivery, WebP is the clear winner in the vast majority of cases.
What about the newer formats? AVIF has been making noise.
AVIF is the next step. It's based on the AV1 video codec, and it typically achieves another 20 to 30% compression improvement over WebP. It also supports HDR, wide color gamut, and both lossy and lossless modes. The catch is that it's more computationally expensive to encode. Sharp supports AVIF output, but the encoding time is noticeably longer than WebP. For a build time pipeline where you process images once and serve them many times, AVIF is fantastic. For a runtime pipeline where you're generating images on the fly, WebP is still the pragmatic choice.
The recommendation would be generate both, WebP as the baseline with AVIF as the enhanced option for browsers that support it, and fall back to the original format for the vanishingly small number of browsers that support neither.
That's the picture element approach. You declare multiple sources in your HTML, and the browser picks the first one it supports. Astro's image component can handle this automatically. it'll generate WebP and AVIF versions, set up the appropriate markup, and serve the right thing to the right browser. It's one of those things that's better than the WordPress default, where you'd need a plugin to get anything beyond JPEG and PNG.
There's something almost satisfying about the browser negotiating its own capabilities. I'll take the AVIF, thanks. I know what I'm doing.
It's the polite handshake of the modern web. And speaking of handshakes that aren't so polite, let's talk about SVG security, because the prompt brings up an interesting tension. WordPress has historically been wary of SVGs to the point where you couldn't upload them at all without a plugin or a code snippet. Astro and other static frameworks have no such restriction. Why the difference?
The prompt frames it as a tick in the static column. You can just use SVGs without jumping through hoops. But there's presumably a reason WordPress was cautious.
SVGs are not just images. They're XML documents that can contain JavaScript. An SVG file can include script tags, event handlers, inline CSS that exfiltrates data, even references to external resources. If you allow users to upload SVGs to your WordPress site, a malicious user could upload an SVG that executes JavaScript in the context of your domain when another user views it. That's a stored cross-site scripting attack, and it's a genuine security concern.
WordPress wasn't being paranoid. They were being realistic about a multi-user CMS where not every user is trusted.
In a WordPress environment, you might have dozens of users with different roles. Authors, editors, contributors. Any of them could upload an SVG. And if there's a vulnerability in the sanitization, you've got a problem. The WordPress core team decided the safest default was to block SVGs entirely and let site administrators opt in if they understood the risks.
In an Astro project, the developer is typically the only person touching the code. There is no upload form for untrusted users. The SVGs are part of the source code, committed to version control, reviewed like any other code.
The threat model is completely different. If you're the one writing the SVG or importing it from a trusted icon library, there's no attack vector. The security concern doesn't apply. So it's not that Astro is being cavalier about security, it's that the deployment context is fundamentally different from a multi-user CMS.
That said, if you're building a headless CMS with Astro as the front end, and you're allowing user uploads through some admin interface, you're right back in the WordPress threat model. You need to sanitize those SVGs before serving them.
And there are libraries for that. Svigo can strip out scripts and event handlers. DOM Purify can sanitize SVG content on the server side. The prompt mentions that it doesn't feel right to see AI agents inlining SVGs directly into components, and I think I know what that unease is about. When you inline an SVG, you're bypassing any sanitization step. If that ESVG came from an untrusted source, you're injecting it directly into your DOM.
It's the SVG equivalent of eating unwashed produce. Probably fine most of the time, but the one time it's not, you're going to have a very bad day.
That's the perfect analogy. And the fix is straightforward. If you're going to inline SVGs, know where they came from. If they're from a reputable icon library, go ahead. If they're user submitted, run them through a sanitizer first. The purity of inlining is nice for performance. No extra HTTP request, the icon renders immediately, but it's not worth a security incident.
Let's talk about those icon libraries, because the prompt specifically asks about the major ones available through NPM. When you're building a site and you need social icons for Facebook, GitHub, Twitter, or X, whatever we're calling it this week, what are the go-to options?
The landscape has consolidated around a few major players. The biggest is probably React Icons, which despite the name works perfectly fine outside of React, it's just a collection of icon sets packaged as components. It includes Font Awesome, Material Design Icons, Heroicons, Feather, and about a dozen others. You install one package and you get access to thousands of icons from multiple design systems.
It's the buffet approach. One dependency, many menus.
The other major option is Lucide, which is a fork of Feather Icons that's been significantly expanded. Lucide is particularly popular in the Astro and Next.js ecosystems because the icons are designed to be tree shakeable. You only ship the icons you actually use, not the entire library. The design language is clean, consistent, and works well at small sizes.
tree-shaking matters more than people think. Importing a single icon from a library that bundles 2,000 icons. If the bundler can't eliminate the unused ones, you're shipping a lot of dead weight.
That's the advantage of Lucide and similar modern libraries. Each icon is its own file, so the import is explicit. You import the GitHub icon, you get the GitHub icon, and nothing else. Compare that to the old approach of loading the entire FontAwesome CSS file and using class names. You'd ship hundreds of kilobytes of icons you never used.
There's also the SVG sprite approach, where you generate a single sprite sheet of all your icons and reference them by ID. That's efficient for larger sets where you're using many icons across the site.
Right? And Astro has good support for that pattern. You can use Astro Icon, which is a community integration that lets you pull icons from various sources. Iconify, local SVGs, even remote collections. And it handles the sprite generation and caching automatically. It's a nice middle ground between the full component approach and raw SVG management.
The prompt also raises the question of video delivery, and this is where things get interesting with the CDN aspect. One of the selling points of the headless approach is that you can separate your front-end deployment from your media storage. Your Astro site deploys to Vercel or Cloudflare pages, but your images and videos route into a CDN bucket, S3, R2, Bunny, whatever.
The prompt's instinct is that this feels like too much complication for most people. I think that's fair, but it's also one of those things where the complexity pays off in very specific scenarios. If you're running a blog with a handful of images per post, serving them from the same origin as your HTML is fine. The static files are small, they cache well, and the added latency of a separate media origin isn't worth the architectural overhead.
When does it become worth it?
When video enters the picture. Video files are enormous compared to images. A single minute of high-quality video can be 50 to 100 megabytes. Serving that from your application origin means every video request ties up a connection to your app server, consumes bandwidth that could be serving HTML or API responses, and potentially racks up egress costs depending on your hosting provider.
If you're on Vercel, there are hard limits on asset sizes for serverless functions. You're not even supposed to serve large files through them.
Vercel's serverless functions have a response payload limit. It was 6 megabytes for a long time, and while it's been raised, it's still not designed for video delivery. The intended pattern is exactly what the prop describes. Your media goes to a CDN-backed object store, and your front-end references it via URL. The CDN handles the heavy lifting of caching, edge distribution, and range requests for video seeking.
Range requests are the thing that lets you skip to the middle of a video without downloading the whole file first.
And they're critical for user experience. If your video is served from a static file server that doesn't support range requests, the user can't seek. They click the progress bar and nothing happens until the entire video is downloaded. A proper CDN or object store handles this natively.
The headless media architecture, front end here, media there, isn't just about performance. It's about enabling basic functionality that users expect.
The setup isn't as complicated as it sounds. With Cloudflare R2, which is particularly relevant given the Astro acquisition, you create a bucket, you get an endpoint, and you upload files either through the dashboard, the API, or a tool like rclone. Your Astro components reference the R2 URLs, and Cloudflare's CDN caches everything at the edge. There's no egress fees with R2, which is a significant differentiator from S3.
Wait, no egress fees at all?
No egress fees. That's been Cloudflare's position with R2 since launch, and it's part of why the Astro acquisition makes strategic sense. Cloudflare can offer a full pipeline, build your site with Astro, deploy to Cloudflare pages, store your media in R2, serve everything through their CDN, and you never pay a separate bandwidth bill. It's vertically integrated in a way that's compelling for content-heavy sites.
That's the kind of thing that makes the complexity worth it. If you're paying per gigabyte of egress and you have a video that gets unexpectedly popular, you could wake up to a very unpleasant bill. The R2 model eliminates that particular anxiety.
That anxiety is real. There are horror stories of developers getting five-figure IWS bills because a video went viral or a misconfigured Lambda function ran in a loop. The predictable pricing of R2 and similar services removes a whole category of operational risk.
Let's circle back to something the prompt mentions about animations and hosting resources for performance. If you're adding small visual touches, CSS animations, Lottie files, that kind of thing, where should those live?
For CSS animations, they should be in your style sheet, which is bundled and served alongside your HTML. That's straightforward. For Lottie animations or other JSON-driven animation formats, they're small enough that you could typically inline them or serve them as static assets from your main origin. The threshold where you'd want to move them to a separate CDN is the same as for images. If the file is large enough that it meaningfully impacts page load or bandwidth costs, offload it.
For custom fonts,
self-host your fonts. Serving fonts from Google Fonts or Adobe Fonts adds a third-party dependency, a separate DNS lookup, and a separate TLS handshake. It also leaks your users' browsing data to those providers. Self-hosting fonts. Just downloading the WAF2 files and serving them from your own domain is faster and more privacy-respecting. Astro makes this trivial with the font source configuration in the build settings.
The privacy angle on Google Fonts is under discussed. Every time someone's browser fetches a font from Google servers, Google gets a log entry with a referrer header. They know which sites people are visiting, even if those sites don't use Google Analytics.
That's exactly why several European courts have ruled that loading Google Fonts without explicit consent violates GDPR. The German court in Munich ruled on this in early 2022, and it sent a wave of sites scrambling to self-host their fonts. It's one of those cases where the technically better solution, self-hosting, also happens to be the legally safer one.
To pull this all together, the prompt covers a lot of ground, but there's a through line. The shift from WordPress to Astro and similar frameworks involves taking on responsibilities that were previously handled automatically. Image processing, format optimization, security sanitization, CDN architecture. The frameworks give you better tools for each of these, but they don't do the work for you.
That's the double-edged sword. WordPress makes decisions for you, and some of those decisions are good. Automatic thumbnail generation, sensible image format defaults. And some of them are frustrating. SVG restrictions, plugin dependency chains. Astro makes almost no decisions for you, which means you can build exactly what you want, but you have to know what you want and how to ask for it.
Or you have an AI agent that knows how to ask for it on your behalf. That's the paradigm shift the prompt is pointing at. The knowledge gap between I know what I want my site to do, and I know the specific sharp configuration to make it happen, used to be filled by reading documentation, watching tutorials, and trial and error. Now it's filled by describing the desired outcome to an agent.
The agent doesn't get tired, doesn't make syntax errors because it's 4 in the morning, and has effectively memorized the entire sharp API surface. It's not that the complexity goes away, it's that the complexity becomes someone else's problem, or something else's problem.
Which brings us to the question of whether this actually makes these frameworks accessible to non-developers. The prompt suggests it does, and I think it's directionally correct, but there's still a floor. You need to know enough to describe what you want in terms the agent can act on. Make my images load faster is too vague. Generate WebP thumbnails at 300 pixels wide with 80% quality and serve them through a CDNA. That's actionable.
The prompt engineering becomes the new technical skill. You don't need to know the Sharp API, but you need to know that thumbnail generation is a thing that exists and matters. You don't need to know how to configure course headers, but you need to know that serving media from a separate domain requires course configuration. The concepts remain, the implementation details get abstracted.
That's probably the right level of abstraction for most content-driven sites. The person running a small business blog doesn't need to know the difference between bilinear and Lanzos resampling. They need to know that their blog index shouldn't take 20 seconds to load, and that there's a fix for that.
The fix, by the way, for anyone keeping score at home, use Astro's built-in image component or wire up Sharp in your build pipeline. Generate thumbnails at the exact dimensions your layout requires, serve them in WebP or AVIF format, and let the browser handle the rest. That one paragraph replaces about 3 hours of tutorial videos from 5 years ago.
That's the real story here. Not that Astro is better than WordPress or vice versa. They're different tools for different contexts, but that the cost of choosing the more flexible tool has dropped dramatically. The old calculus was, WordPress gives you 80% of what you want out of the box with minimal effort, and Astro gives you 100% of what you want, but requires 10 times the effort. The new calculus is WordPress still gives you 80%, but Astro now gives you 100% for maybe twice the effort, and that ratio keeps improving.
For the media handling specifically, the Astro side of that equation is more capable once you cross the initial setup threshold. The prompts inventory side example, timestamp thumbnails with asset ID overlays, that's not something you can do in WordPress without a Rube Goldberg machine of plugins. In Astro with Sharp, it's a few dozen lines of code that run deterministically and never conflict with anything else.
Let's talk about one more thing. The prompt touches on. The concept of the data lake is a separate concern. When you decouple the CMS backend from the frontend, your media assets live in this independent layer. You can change your frontend framework entirely. Move from Astro to Next.js, or from Next.js to SvelteKit, and your images and videos don't care. They're just URLs in a bucket.
That's the headless promise, and it's valuable. Content migration is one of the most painful parts of platform changes. If your content and media are decoupled from your presentation layer, the migration surface shrinks dramatically. You're not exporting WordPress XML and hoping the import tool handles image references correctly. You're just pointing a new front end at the same API and the same media URLs.
The media URLs don't even need to change. If you've structured your bucket paths sensibly, something like media/blog/2026/postlog/thumbnail.webp, those URLs are stable forever. The front end comes and goes. The URLs remain.
Stable URLs are an underrated form of technical kindness. To your future self, to your collaborators, to the Internet Archive, to anyone who's bookmarked or linked to your content. Changing URL structures is how you break the web, one redirect at a time.
We've covered thumbnails and Sharp. We've covered WebP versus PNG versus AVIF. We've covered SVG security and icon libraries. We've covered video delivery and CD and architecture. And we've touched on the broader paradigm shift that agentic AI brings to all of this. Is there anything we're leaving on the table?
One thing worth mentioning about video specifically. The prompt asks about integrating video into projects, and there's a newer option that's worth knowing about. Cloudflare Stream, which is their video delivery service, integrates directly with Astro now that they're under the same umbrella. You upload a video once, Stream encodes it into multiple bitrates and formats automatically, and you embed it with a simple component. It handles adaptive bitrate streaming, which means the video quality adjusts based on the viewer's connection speed.
It's the video equivalent of what Sharp does for images. You provide the source. The pipeline handles the rest.
And because it's Cloudflare, it's served from their edge network. The video starts playing quickly, regardless of where the viewer is geographically. For sites that are serious about video, it's a compelling alternative to YouTube or Vimeo embeds, which come with branding, related video suggestions, and a whole lot of third-party JavaScript.
The trade-off being that you're deepening your dependency on Cloudflare's ecosystem. If you're already using Astro on Cloudflare pages with R2 for images, adding Stream for video means your entire stack is Cloudflare. That's either a feature or a bug, depending on your perspective.
That's the strategic dimension of the acquisition. Cloudflare is building a full-stack platform for content-driven sites. Astro is the framework, Pages is the deployment, R2 is the storage, Stream is the video, Images is the optimization service. It's a coherent stack, and coherence has real value. Everything works together. You have one bill, one dashboard, one support contact. But it's also vendor lock-in, which is something to be aware of even if you're comfortable with it.
The prompts author mentioned that vendor lock-in concern in a previous conversation. It's the classic trade-off, convenience now versus flexibility later.
The honest answer is that for most small to medium projects, the convenience is worth it. The likelihood that you'll need to migrate away from Cloudflare in a way that makes the lock-in painful is low, and the time you save by not cobbling together 5 different services is real. For larger projects or enterprises with specific compliance requirements, the calculus might be different.
All right, I think we've given this a proper going over. The media handling layer in modern front-end frameworks is one of those things that's invisible when it works, and catastrophically visible when it doesn't. The tools are better than they've ever been, the AI assistance is transformative, and the main thing standing between most people and a well-optimized media pipeline is knowing that these questions need to be asked in the first place.
Now they know. Thumbnails, formats, sanitization, CDNs, icons, it's a checklist, not a mystery. And now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
The 1915 Expedition Diaries of botanist Reginald Ferrer, written during his plant-collecting journey through the Gobi Desert, contained detailed sketches of a carnivorous plant he called the Gobi Goblet, a desert-adapted relative of the pitcher plant that lured beetles into its sand-filled traps during the brief rainy season. Ferrer's manuscript notes that the plant's digestive enzymes were so concentrated they could dissolve a camel hair paintbrush in under an hour.
I have questions about how he tested that.
Why he was carrying camel hair paintbrushes in the Gobi Desert. This has been My Weird Prompts, produced by the ever-mysterious Hilbert Flumingtop. If you enjoyed this episode, you can find more at myweirdprompts.com. We'll be back soon with another deep dive into whatever corner of technology Daniel's curiosity drags us into. Until then, check your image sizes before you deploy.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.